Well, we're back at it again, guys. Joe Rose, John Congemi, Kim Bocamper here with you. This is the Audible. If you're listening to us, you're listening to us on Apple Music, Dolphins.com, the Miami Dolphins mobile app, TuneIn Radio. Episodes drop every, I keep forgetting that, Joe.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday they drop.
We drop it on a Thursday.
Hey, we're getting close, John. We're getting close to actually seeing some guys on the practice
field. You're right, Bo.
Next week, OTA starts. So when we get back next week for the show, that will drop on
Thursday.
Yeah. We can talk about it. We'll have something to see. We'll be out in the field. We'll be able to start watching these guys get around and everything. But it's going to be a pretty – you know what's funny, Joe? Everywhere I go now, everyone goes, these football season's right around the corner.
Sure it is.
I mean, you know, once you get – once that draft comes up
– I know.
In everyone's mind, it's football season now.
And it's
Forget
great.
All that other crap.
It's great because you get teased by having NHL every other night and the NBA every other night.
Yeah.
And then once they start getting down to the final four teams – they stretch it out, and you're jonesing for something to watch on TV.
Well, not for nothing, Joe, but it looks like the Warriors are going to grab this thing again, huh?
Yeah, no.
Our
Golden State Warriors are looking real good.
Go back to Nate Thurman and Al Attles with those guys.
Yeah, is Rick that the Barry, town? The town?
We're going back, yeah. We're going back.
The town.
I will tell you this, too. Part of it here, especially here in South Florida, I've noticed on the
they
radio.
They love to see LeBron get beat.
That's a given, yeah. No, they're definitely, like, hoping this Boston thing continues. There's a lot of Celtic fans in town right now. But with the Marlins struggling.
Yeah.
With everything else, the heat out of it, it's like I just feel like,
come on,
how
Miami.
About how the rookie class? Hey, what do you think? Hey, you know, Tannehill's coming back. All of a sudden, people realize New Year. You know, how much can we flip it around?
And you guys know more than anybody when the Dolphins are good. This town's so different.
Forget it.
It's unbelievable.
It's out of control. Hey, look who's join us now. Look who walked in, Jerome Baker, third round draft pick. Out of Ohio State.
Hey, Jerome.
Jerome, hey, are you
what's
gonna
up,
be
good? Man?
Be Jerome just showed up.
I love that about Ohio State guys. They don't care.
To be serious, Jerome, you're in town. You guys came in last week, got together with the rookies. Now you're going through some orientation, conditioning and stuff. And in this next week, you guys will get out and hit the field with the veterans. Are you looking forward to that? And how has the experience been for this last week or so since you've been around?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. You always – you know, here guys always say, you're the rook. You know, you get on that field, you're a player. So I'm looking forward to getting out there and show what I can do. And that's what I'm excited about.
I liked it, by the way. I love the new system of what they're doing. Bo, you've been part of it. And I was involved last week. John, this thing is, I like it. Life skills.
Yeah.
Social media. Eating right. I mean, some of the stuff may be stuff you don't really want to hear about. But they're throwing it out there. Investment stuff.
Siblings get involved, families involved. Yeah,
I think it's great, don't you? Yeah, don't you like that they're doing it? I'm sure there are probably parts of it you roll your eyes, but a lot of it's good stuff.
Yeah, I was just talking when I came in, just walking in here. You know, there's so much information that you can't take it in on one day. I do a great job just taking notes and looking back on it. And I try to share with my family, share with different people around you. It's one time you talk to a teammate, and he'll look back and be like, oh, I forgot all about that. So it's just that constant communication of just learning so much information. It's hard to soak it in, but you just try to do as much as you can. And, you know, in the long run, it's definitely going to pay off.
Now, I know you haven't been on the field yet with the team at a practice, at an OTA, but what's it been like? What's the biggest difference for you time-wise when you hit the building in the morning compared to when you're in college? Because I don't think people really understand the time that's involved, and you haven't even gotten to the regular season yet. So just take us through maybe the biggest differences between you going to Ohio State to a practice and getting ready for something on a daily basis and coming into Davy.
Yeah, so at Ohio State, is you only get like an hour or two to do, you know, football, really, outside of meetings and stuff like that. Here now, it's all up to you. You can have 6 hours just to lay around, or you can have 2 hours to, you know, left in your day just to go to bed. So it really is up to you, and I love the free time of, you know, I can just sit here all day and just watch football, and I don't have to worry about I got a class at 3 o'clock or something like that. So that's what makes it kind of, you know, fun. It's, you really can just do football all day, and if you really love football, this is the life. So staying
it's
this
good
building,
profession, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jerome, you don't come here as a stranger. Raekwon McMillan. Coming back from his injury last year, you played with him 2 years ago at Ohio State. Is there something between the two of you that the familiarity of playing with Raekwon and those types of things that you feel like you can carry forward? And have you talked to him much since you got drafted?
Yeah, I pretty much talk to Quan every day.
Yeah.
And it's one thing of, you know, we familiar with each other, but I'm also familiar with his little, you know, tactics, his little saying. So as far as like on the any chance he get, I compete with him. Just only because he already been here. He actually never played yet. So we just kind of compete and just see. We both technically are rookies. We never really played. So, you know, it's a chance to see. I know him personally, so I'm going to compete any way I can to get him better. And he's definitely going to do great.
Is that the needle you used right off the bat? Hey, man, you haven't even played yet.
Yeah, we're same guy. Same boat.
Well, Quan, I use any joke I can. You know, he always have his little ways. So anywhere I can push him, his little needle, anything I can do, I use it because, you know, he always act as that bigger brother. I'm that knowing a little brother. I'm definitely going to get under his skin. So
did you talk to him after he got hurt? And he's going, because that's a tough, look, the same thing happened to me my rookie year. I blew my knee out and missed the whole season. Very similar to him. And that's a lonely situation. Did you have conversations with him after that?
I talked to him right after that. Talked to him a little bit. One thing about Quan, though, he's not no, you know, down soaker and get in his feelings. When it came to that, he was like, I'm ready to get back to work. So he took it full head of steam and, you know, really went to work on his knee. So if you know Quan, you know that nothing's going to stop him. That was just a little obstacle he got over, and he's ready to show what he got.
We didn't know this about him, but his leadership this offseason, I mean, since the end of the season, we came over here, and he's taken this thing kind of over with guys for a guy that hasn't played. You surprised by his leadership, or was he that guy at Ohio State?
Not at all. That's been him. You know, Coach Bushy always said he's been a middle linebacker his whole life. And that's really him. It's no faking. It's nothing. Every day he walks in, he's the leader. When you see a guy like that, it kind of inspires you in a way of, you know, I want to lead too. I want to. And in turn, it creates a nice competitive relationship. So that's how me and Quan is. He walking as a leader, but, you know, I'm going to up my game to get to his level. That's for sure.
What's your goals coming in as a rookie? What do you want to do? You know, your high draft choice. A lot of things have been said about what you can do on the football field. What, in your mind, what do you want to get done in your rookie season?
I just want to get on that field and just show what I can do. I don't like limiting myself of being a starter or being a special teams guy. I just want to go in there and show my talents. Me, I can do anything I put my mind to. And my mind is to get on that field and just show my, you know, my playmaking ability every snap, every game. So that's all my goal is. I'm not worried about nothing else. Everything else is going to come. Just go out there and make plays and have fun, and the rest will handle itself.
Well, when you look at yourself, you do a little self-scouting about the type of player that you are. What do you feel like your strengths are, and what do you feel like you've got to work on to be the type of player that ultimately you want to be?
My strengths, I can run, athletic, I can cover, I can do all those things. My weakness is what I really focus on. The little things to me, sometimes I can be going the right way, but I don't take the right steps. Using my hand effectively. It's a lot of different things I look on. On TV, you don't notice it, but linemen, they can take advantage of you. So the little things, the little detail things, what I really try to focus on, and just soaking up the playbook, that's my weakness now. I don't know this playbook. Ohio State, I can tell you everybody's position and their technique and everything. So that's my main focus now, is just learn the playbook. When you learn the playbook, you know, your play speeds up, and that's what I'm.
Can you cover tight ends?
I can cover anybody.
Check that off the list, Bo.
Well, there's a guy, the reason Bo said that, there's a guy named Gronkowski in New England that you're aware of. You've seen him play. It's going to happen at some point. You're going to be on him. You're going to be covered. You thought about that at all? I mean, one of the reasons I think you're here is because Gronk's up at New England, and they need some linebackers can run with that big son of a gun.
One thing about him, I'm excited to get the chance to play against him, but I'm not really focused on that right now.
Yeah.
I'm worrying about just getting better every day.
Gotcha.
I'm definitely going to be excited when that time comes, and I, you know, definitely learn from different guys of different people. You know, I had the chance to work with Pepper Johnson this summer, so he told me a little inside scoop of different things. So I'm excited to do that, but right now I'm just worrying about, learning what Jet is and the different defenses we have now. So that chance is going to come, but right now.
You come in from Ohio State, and I think we look at this draft, and one of the things I really liked about the draft, Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Arizona State, big programs, big games, big pressure that you guys have played in those types of games. How does all that prepare you to come into this league and be the best you can be?
It brings something different that I think a lot of people don't realize. Being all under that pressure, you kind of get used to it, so you really don't even focus on it. Now I know how it feels to have 100,000 people playing, cheering you on, So I don't really focus on that.
You know how to have 100,000 people booing you and screaming at you too.
I don't even focus on it. No more, so. It kind of comes with territory. It's definitely a blessing to play at Ohio State, but it definitely prepared me. But I already did that part. I'm not going to be nervous to go out there and blow. This is a lot of people because you know, Ohio State have great fans. So it just kind of prepared you for a little bit about that aspect of it. So
you know what? You got thick skin too, because I can already tell. Guy being from Ohio State, from Cleveland, having two Northern California guys talking about Golden State and taking down your Cleveland Cavaliers. Right. What do you think about the Cavs, man?
Oh, he's a LeBron guy.
I know he has to be.
This is what people don't realize. This is LeBron James, the greatest player to ever walk this earth. If I forgot the year when we was down 3-1 to the Warriors, the best team ever, was it 73-9?
Kyrie hit that big shot. Yeah. Kyrie hit that big shot. You're right.
But people forget it's not about the series, but this whole season we had LeBron. So if you're going against LeBron, I feel bad for you because he's the
See,
best.
See, I was just trying to help you out.
Boy, you two stirred it up. It didn't take much to get Jerome going on that one.
Hey, Jerome, the other thing is, too, you know, you're kind of coming into kind of a Michigan family. You know, Stephen Ross, you probably heard. You know the relationship. A lot of Michigan people in the organization. You guys own them. What's that like? I mean, Harbaugh still hasn't beaten you guys. What's that like?
I was just telling Mike, I have no problem with the team of North.
Yeah.
I never lost to you guys, so what's the problem? I don't have any memories of me being down after the game. After every win, I was happy and celebrating with my family and my friends and our team, so I have no problem.
You know what? That's when you start saying, well, you know, quite frankly, we wish we could schedule you guys twice a year.
What are you guys doing in September?
Well, these guys jumped right on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Too, man.
Thank you,
Jim. Hey, Mr. Ross is not here.
You've kind of gotten into the playbook. You've been going through this whole, going through all the different aspects of this team and being a rookie and this and that. But when it comes down to playing football and getting ready to playbook, how soon do you think it's going to take you to where you feel like you're up to speed? And it's going to be, and what are you expecting when you step in on the field with the veteran guys? And then, you know, there's been conversation that I know you've been involved where, hey, look, these guys are all rookies coming in. A lot of you veteran guys, they don't care. They don't give a damn about you. You know, this is my job. If you want my job, you're going to have to work your ass off, and it's not nothing's going to be given to you out there.
And I respect that. I respect that totally. I remember being an older guy and a young guy come in. I respect that. But, you know, you understand the concepts. That's what you catch up on. But one thing about football, it's not set in stone. Mm-hmm. What happens when that motion goes across? What are you going to do? What are your different checks? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm, you know, really focusing on. Mm-hmm. The concepts of cover three, you can understand that pretty easily. But when things happen on the football field, that's when you start, you know, panicking. So that's what I'm really focused on now, just watching old film and just, all right, motion, all right, check, what's your check? So that's the things I'm going through now. And you really can't see how fast it goes until you're on the field. College, it was fast, but, you know, NFL is definitely a different speed, a different level. So that's what I'm really focused
on. I got something real quick for you. You know, you spent the last couple of weeks with NFL coaches. You got Frank Bush as your linebacker coach, you've got Matt Burke as your defensive coordinator, but you're coming from a place where you had a former NFL head coach be your defensive coordinator in Greg Schiano. You've got a former position coach and coordinator, defensive coordinator, as your linebacker coach in Billy Davis. Do you feel like that's an advantage for you coming from coaching like that at a high level, being able to step into an NFL locker room and make it be a little bit seamless for you?
Yeah, it definitely helped. I remember coming in. You know, Coach Davis, he came in around the springtime, and he asked me, like, what do you have on this? I can tell him every single thing that I had. And he was like, okay, well, do one favor for me. Get on the board and just tell me what everybody has. I couldn't do it. And it was one thing of, he taught me of course you're going to know what you have, but what do you know the guy behind you have? What is his things that he has to, you know, struggle on? So if you don't wall this to a receiver, that receiver's going to be on it. Yeah. So you got to understand of that of, you know, I got to do my technique because the guy behind me is, you know, depend on me. So that aspect of having NFL coaches, they kind of, you know, prepare me for this level already. So it's definitely been a help. Coach Davis, I appreciate everything he did for me. You know, Coach Schiano, he did the same. Coach Meyer, he's one of those coaches. He's a once-in-a-lifetime coach. You're never going to get a guy that much experience, that much success. So I really appreciate the whole program of Ohio State.
Hey, I want to ask you about a guy you're familiar with, the guy drafted ahead of you in this team. What can you tell us about Mike Gesicki?
You can say whatever you want about Mike. He can't block. He can't do this. He can't do that. He can do it. That's simple as that. He can do it. One thing about him, just being his locker is like right next to mine. And he just goes to work. That's all he does. That's all he really do. Every year it was, yeah, they have this receiver. He, you know, his stance is funny. Don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Every year he came out and balled. So, you know, you can say what you want about Mike, but he's a playmaker. And it's definitely going, I'm glad he's on my team. It's going definitely going to be exciting.
All right, let me throw this your way. Because he's a guy we all know, a couple guys we all know. We all know his dad. Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa, which one's better?
The Bosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bosa. I'm taking the Bosa.
No.
I'm not going to fall for that. One thing about Nick and Joe, they are monsters.
They're beasts.
Walk around like monsters. They play like monsters.
Bro, I remember
That's
seeing those kids when they were like in fourth and fifth grade. You know, their dad, John, who was a first-round draft pick of the Miami Dolphins, owned a gym. I think those kids grew up. I think when they were about a year and a half years old was the first time they did a bench press. And those guys been in the gym their whole – and they're both just – I mean, you're talking about splitting hairs with two really, really good players that Ohio State, 8 years of the Bozas or 6 years, however long it's going to be, been pretty good time for the Buckeyes up there.
Oh, definitely. When Nick walked in as a freshman, he did not look like a freshman at all. And one thing about him, you can tell he's been around football his whole life. Yeah. And you start to learn different things about football that you never really realized. And, you know, definitely take care of your body. Yeah. They both did a great job of it in college. Yeah. They played so many snaps, you know. Yeah. I remember the Penn State game with Joey. It was three people blocking him. He still managed to get out of it. Yeah. So as far as that, you know, they are all around just they're blessed. So when people ask
gene pool
which one is
good.
Better, yeah. Well, I just say the Bosa.
The gene pool is pretty good, but I tell you what, those kids, they worked hard, man. Yeah. Those guys at the high school level, I mean, they did their work, man. They did nothing. Look, they've got good bloodlines, but they're not going to do anything if you didn't put in the work. And those guys certainly put in the work.
Oh, definitely. Nick came in working. Joey, as soon as I walked in the door, he was working. Yeah. No matter how much praise they get, no matter what, Nick's going to be in the weight room working out.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone. He's still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they came from a great program. Even they was down at St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
I actually looked up Nick and, you know, see how good he was. And it don't matter how many things – accolades he get, he just goes to work and play.
He's a football player.
And I love him for that, so it's definitely good.
Hey, you know, the one thing that the Dolphins organization, really, Joe, since back when we were here and even before, been real big about community outreach going out, and you got involved with some of that. You went to the United Way yesterday, did some stuff out there. Are those the things you like to do? Are those things you want to do more of it while you're here with this organization?
Yeah, that's one thing I really pride myself on. People always forget, when I was in elementary school, in high school, I started my own organization. I was a part of it. Whoa, man. It was all about domestic violence. You know, got to Ohio State. Time difference a little bit is off track, but just to see, you know, coming in as a rookie and the organization is priding itself on that, it really helps me. And you have all the playbook and you have all the, you know, different things thrown at you just to see those kids' faces kind of, you know, bring you back to earth of, yeah, this is a great game, but at the end of the day, you're making a lot of people happy, and just you being on that field is, you know, blessing.
Makes you remember I was one sitting there, right?
And it was crazy because I was looking out, and it was the kids. You can just tell they were like, oh, we're tired of this. But it's like that one message you hear, that one thing of like, oh, I remember that. Yeah. When you grow up, you're going to remember that one little thing, and you never know, that might change your life.
Good stuff, Jerome. That's awesome, that's Jerome. Great. Getting involved in the community, and Dolphins have a lot of stuff which allow the guys to do it, and you'll be in a lot of different charity events. There is no question, a lot of stuff going on.
Hey, you've been with the rookies for a long time, for quite a while now, and you've got to know the guys that are with the draft picks and the free agents, everybody out here, and really right now you're all on the same footing. Everyone's got the same opportunity as everyone else, whether you're the first round draft pick or the last free agent signed. But I know, Joe, I'm sure it's for you, John, it's you the same thing, and myself. You know, you always seem to have that, your rookie class, whether they make the team or not, they're kind of, you're kind of bonded together because you're going through the whole thing. Are you starting to bond with a lot of the other rookies that are in the building?
This is going to sound crazy, but the one guy I really bonded with is from the, you know, the team up north. Mike McCray. He's honestly, every chance I'm like, oh, I'm getting film. I'm coming in with you.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, you gonna meet me in the, you know, the ice tub. I'm coming, just give me a second.
Yeah.
So he's kind of basically been my friend of, you know, we're going through it together.
And yeah.
It's kind of funny that he went to the team of North. And I gave him a little tease, but he don't really care.
It's funny. I mean, look, I was drafted in 1976. And there's still guys that came in my rookie class that I'm still friends with, still talk to, and
close
still
guys.
With.
You'll have that cool. bond. Yeah, 1980, absolutely. Same group. Dwight, Don McNeil, Sam. It was like yesterday when we all came in at 21 years old and hanging out. Those guys had their act together a little more, their shit together more than I did. But I mean, some things
caught up
change.
A little bit, Joe.
I'm a little more mature, but not like those.
Hey, you've been around Coach Gase. What are your thoughts about the head coach?
He's down to earth. Yeah. He's really down to earth, and he just speaks the real with you.
He's a little different than Urban Meyer?
A lot different. A lot different. He put his hat on backwards, and he's going to say whatever. You know. So it's a lot different, but you can just tell he's a great guy.
Good. Hey, Jerome, I really appreciate you taking some time out. I know it's kind of been a whirlwind for you since the draft and everything has gone on, but I think there's you got a lot of good things coming your way, and we're looking forward to watching you play and
be a fun
seeing
summer.
You out there. And Just when you play New England, give a little elbow to the chin of the Gronk and get him out of the game early, and we'll be a lot better off. We'll all be a lot better off for that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Glad to talk a little football. So.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Good stuff. Jerome, this wasn't a bad group, right? This wasn't
You can
bad.
Hang, you no, can hang with us bad. Again, right?
This is fun. This is okay. definitely fun.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Hey, guys, good stuff. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing
It's a good draft class,
I'm looking
man.
Forward to seeing this whole draft class, man. I tell you, I really am looking forward to seeing all these guys out here and seeing what they're doing. Gesicki, we talk about him, and I want to see him. I want to see Durham Smythe, the kid for the other. I want to see the blocking tight end.
Hey, Fitzpatrick's
Micah
all
Fitzpatrick,
business.
This guy's all business, and I want to see him. And I don't know that I've been. I don't know that I've been as eager to watch OTAs as I think I am with this group coming in. Not only that, but you got Raekwon coming back. You got Ryan coming back. You know, Raekwon to me is like another draft choice.
Exactly.
Like bringing another draft choice in here and a guy that's going to be a starter. I believe this kid's going to be the starter on the as that other outside linebacker. And you put Minkah in there, you put him in there, and you put Gesicki. You may have three starters in that coming right out of those first three guys drafted.
A lot of this improvement of this team and the unknown for everybody and everybody's trying to figure out what their predictions nationally and locally is – this group of guys you just talked about, Bo. I mean, the veteran guys are, I call them nice band-aids, and they're important.
Yep.
But the big growth comes from your draft class, absolutely. Your rookie free agents. Bo, John, we're going to be talking about two or three rookie free agents going to make this team and have an impact by the end of the year.
Because
it happens every year.
No doubt about it. You know what? There's always, it's funny because there's always that free agent. And maybe if you're lucky, there's two of them. But there's always that one free agent, right? That you're watching him and no one pays attention. First week, you know, he's a slow, you know, guy's too slow, the guy this or that, and then you go to, then you're in an OT and you go, geez, I think I made a nice play there, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
what's his name?
And then you go, well, what's that number? Who's wearing number 26? And then the next break, geez, I think that guy made another play off there. And then you go to training camp and the guy's making plays all over the place. And then you get to that last cut, right? You get the last cut, and you're going, man, I hope they keep that guy.
I hope 46
That guy got very little chance of making the team.
Yeah.
And then you know in the meeting room, when it comes down to cutdowns, those coaches are going, hey, you can't get rid of that guy. And you know what? All the veterans are going, hey, we can't get rid of that guy. That guy makes plays every time he's in there.
I mean, what was it? A couple years ago, it might have been 3-4 years ago now, when we had the three linebackers that were all –
it was 2 years ago, all three agents.
You had Neville Hewitt, you had Hull.
Mike Hull.
And you had Zach Vigil was maybe that year or the year before. Yeah. Like it was all these guys.
All
and we're looking
players.
Going, that guy's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Was that the same guy? No, that was a different guy. Yeah. That was 46. The other guy was 48. And you kept going down the list, and you hope you do that this year because that means you're getting stronger at the bottom, and it's starting to get into the middle of the team.
Well,
and
the
to
flip
the top.
Side, we've seen some pretty decent draft choices, and you watch them for 10 minutes, you go, that guy can't play.
Yeah, right. Don't want to do
that.
That
guy can't
anymore.
Play.
And we will have that, too. That will pop up, but I do agree. Hey, how about the fourth preseason game? I was just thinking back to Minnesota last year. We're sitting there, and we had a linebacker make the team, had a monster game, and ends up starting because of a
Chase
suspension.
Allen, right. Yeah.
He plays the first game of the regular season and did a nice job.
How about the guy finds out, Chase Allen finds out the morning
he's playing.
That he's not only playing, he's starting because you lost your outside linebacker. He's starting. First play, crashes down, that's makes right. a tackle makes for a play. Loss, his very first play
right.
in the rookie, National Football League for free a rookie agent. Rookie that's free right. agent. That so you know you look at all the draft choices and look that's like the you know the draft choices are like the you know the presents you want to open them with Christmas. The free agents are like those candy canes that are hanging out there that no one wants to eat. That no one wants to eat.
Yeah,
you know,
well, when you're tired, you're bored. You kind of
pretty
go
good.
Over
you got to have
pretty
them
good analogy.
You
got
to have
by
them because it's Christmas. But no one wants to eat those things, you know?
I'm going to go out on a limb and bet that Bo has done that a couple times.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, no, there's no question.
No question.
He's popped a little piece off there. There's no
doubt
question.
About it.
Put it back in the song.
Oh, God. Hey, you know what? We've had guests for the last couple of weeks, so we've kind of been avoiding or not. We've kind of left the fans aside.
Everybody's
so,
out of timeout, right? Everybody's out
yeah,
of
Yeah, everybody's, look.
Everybody's good.
Now, I'm not saying that someone might not be go back into timeout after this one. I haven't looked at any of these questions, but we'll go ahead and go through and get some of these questions. Facebook, Jeff Myers, what was your guys' rookie experience like, Joe?
Right down to the wire, man, yeah. for me. Seventh round pick, 12 rounds. Had a good, really good rookie preseason. I did, made a lot of catches. I remember that. But found out from Don Strzok when everybody was messing with me, yeah. telling, hey, kid, man, what are you going to do when you go back to California? You get cut, because that's how it was back then. And then Don Strzok said, hey, nobody's told you yet, but you're going to make the friggin' team. So that was
You were part of that. You were in one of those rookie groups where you had like three people in your locker.
You
always knew where you stood when you came in that first day of training camp and saw how many people you were sharing a locker with. You had some guys at the far end. You remember that far end down there? That was like, no, man, you didn't want to be anywhere near down that end.
There was like eight guys in two spots.
Everybody shared the cockroaches down there.
They had, you know, and all we had was wood frame 2x4s with chicken wire on them, and they put three guys in that locker. Three guys in each one. And you're coming off the field after like a hot training camp day, and you look at those guys and go, man, those poor son of bitches. And I'm sitting, you're spread out. You got plenty of room.
Right.
You got your whole locker. You
so
know?
I was, just to get back, I was paranoid the whole time, went right down to the wire about making a team. I felt like I played well in the preseason. But back then, there were only 45 guys on a team.
Yeah.
There are a whole bunch of guys. And back then, outside of being a first-round pick, maybe a second-round pick, you weren't real safe back then today.
Yeah, we had a kid. I remember a kid that Shula drafted in the third round. You remember Lyman Smith? Were you here for Lyman?
I know, but I know
who
you're talking
about. So Lyman Smith, he was an offensive guard or offensive tackle, one of them. They drafted him in the third round. Shoes cut him in the first week.
Wow.
He didn't even last the first week and got rid of the guy.
Wow.
I mean, he was a little bit of no-nonsense back now you imagine investing a third-round pick.
That's right.
And you get rid of him in the third week, on the first week.
Well, look at Jerome Baker. He's a third-round pick, right?
Yeah.
You got to talk about his job security.
You got to be real bad and a real jerk-off if you're a third-round or fourth-round, even a fifth-round, not to make the team. Now, you got to be really bad.
How about this guy? So, in Canada, anything goes, right? So, my rookie year, I get into my first meeting, and actually a former coach with the Dolphins for the past 3 years, Danny Barrett, was in the quarterback room with me. So Danny Barrett's with me. He's from Lake Worth High School. Kind of know him a little bit. And there's all these other guys. And you're thinking, you're the guy that they brought in. You're going to be okay. Well, there's six quarterbacks in this room, right? So you're walking around. You kind of get in the lay of the land. You go out for a few practices. You kind of go, well, I got that guy. I got this guy. I feel pretty good. My competition is probably Danny and I are going to be battling to start. So this other guy comes up to me and says, hey, listen, Rook, I just want to let you know, if you're fortunate enough to be my backup this year, I just want to let you know that I'll take care of you. You know, I'll show you the ropes, show you where to live, where not to do, what to do. And I'm going, and I don't want to say anything. So I'm being a nice guy. I say, yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. I go to Danny. I go, Danny, this guy just told me if I'm lucky enough to be his backup, what I can and what I can't
confidence.
Do. A week later, this guy's packing it. We go in early in the morning for practice. We had like 2 days and then a walkthrough. So it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going through our stuff, and he's packing his stuff. I'm like, hey, John, where are you going? Well, we had a disagreement about
How good I was.
Yeah, going. I said, "Oh no, I wish you good luck."
The disagreement was he thought he could play, and the team thought he couldn't play.
That's bad disagreement.
That's the only disagreement there was there.
That was hilarious. That was an eye-opening experience, though, going into that rookie year.
So my rookie year, I played in. I was very fortunate enough to play in the very last college All-Star game, which I guarantee you, 90% of the people listening to this podcast have no idea what it is. But they used to take it was the first two players at each position drafted, and that made up the college All-Star game. And you went up to Chicago, and you played against the defending Super Bowl champions. So we played against the 76 the 76 Pittsburgh Steelers with all, you know, when they were at their at everybody, you know.
Jack Ham, Franco, Lambert,
they're all there.
Oh, gosh.
Franco, Terry Bradshaw, yeah. Webster, that whole offense line. The whole cast of characters. I don't think we played in that game. I don't think we got past the 40-yard line. Our 40-yard line. In that game. So anyway, but by doing that, I'd missed the first 2 weeks of training camp. The league had a deal with the Tribune Company who owned the game that if you got picked and you signed your contract, you had to go. You had no choice. And so I missed the first 2 weeks. So I literally play the game at night, jump on a flight, get here like at 6 o'clock in the morning, rush over to training camp, throw my shit on, get running around the field. I'm ready to play linebacker. I've never played linebacker in my life. So I come running out in the field, guys, in the middle of practice, right? And Orange sees me coming. He goes, hey, are you ready to get in? And I'm like, you know, trying to get my helmet straight and stuff. And I'm looking around, you know, the first time ever walking into a training camp. I said, yeah, coach. He goes, all right, get in there. He says, all you need to do is, you know, if run shows, play your run support. And if pass shows, just drop in that short outside zone. That's all you got to do. And I'm running in going, what the hell is run support? I got you, coach. I'm running. What's some run support?
What the hell do you want me to do here?
So I get in the huddle, first play, and I line up. I'm playing outside linebacker. I line up. I look in there. Bob Greasy, Hall of Famer, is playing quarterback. Jim Langer, Hall of Famer, is playing center. Larry Little, Hall of Famer, is playing playing guard. Mercury Morris is in the backfield.
Oh, God.
And so I'm going, okay, all right. You know, then I get in. Bob, you know, Bob starts to backpedal. I drop into my zone, right? Kind of settle back in my little 10-yard zone, little double zone, settle down. All of a sudden, I look, and here comes Bob Kuchenberg.
Screen.
Jim Langer and Larry Little. And I see Merck drifting out. And I go, oh, here we go. And so Grease throws lofts a little pass to Merck, right? And I step up, and here comes the three offensive line. Cooch hits me with his helmet right under my chin. I mean, came right at my chin, knocked me right. First thing it hit the ground was my back of my head. Right, I get the shit knocked out of me, and I think Langer stepped on my chest and pushed off. Right. And then Merck comes running by, and I'm laying down the ground like this, and all of a sudden, all I see in my face is Bill Arnsberger, like 6 inches from my face. God damn it, son, in this league, you got to keep your head on a swivel. that was my introduction to training.
Oh, my God, this is what I'm in for.
I said, what the hell did I get myself into? But, yeah, so those are our experiences. It's always fun to think back on. But, you know, really, for these kids, for us back at the time when you're going to – that's a stressful time, man.
Well, listen, we don't forget it.
New people. You don't know if you fit, this and that.
You go from the big horse on campus, and you come down here, and you got to learn a new system, and you got new teammates, and you don't know how the veterans feel about you. Some guys, every veteran's different. Even like today, some will go, hey, want to help you, and you know you're not a threat. Some dudes are insecure and want nothing to do with you.
I hit the whole gamut. I hit the guys, hey, I'll help you out. And then the guys that I can't believe they drafted you in the first round. You know, and then the other one was, because at the time, that team had been to 3 Super Bowls. They had won 2, went undefeated. And there were still a lot of guys left in that team. My rookie salary was $36,000. There were guys in that locker room still making $18,000 at the time. And I'm walking through and they go, you son of a bitch. You haven't played a damn down. They're paying you double as much as I'm making right now. Ooh. So you had a bunch of them. They're pissed at you.
By the way, everybody's aware of everybody. I did learn right off the bat. Everybody knows about everybody's base salary and signing bonus. Yeah, there are no secrets.
Yeah. All right, let's go. El Chapo, Facebook.
Is that El Chapo Jr.?
Oh, that's El Chapo Jr.
There's a couple of them. Junior. Okay.
You know, one of these days maybe we'll get it from the real El Chapo. maybe he'll dig out of a hole and pop out a question for us. The national media is critical of Jerome Baker's size. What do you guys think? Can he be a three-down guy, a three-down linebacker? Well, look, I've been impressed with the guy. I'm impressed with the way he carries himself. We had a chance to talk to him just a few minutes ago. I like what he's saying about not the biggest guy out there, speed guy. But you heard him. We talked. Hey, can you cover a linebacker? I can cover anybody. Is his attitude. So, you know, I think there's questions there. But we'll
it's
see if he can
answer. Specialty game, Bo. Yeah, I think the day all these guys playing first, second, and third down, I think everybody's going to be in different packages coming in and out. We were talking yesterday about this.
what is it now, nickel package, 75%
dime. Yeah, crazy.
Everybody's and throwing it.
And down in distance, maybe this guy's in for third and 12, but this guy's in for third and 6. But you're still maybe in a multi, you know, in a nickel package or whatever. It's just,
I would say the
league's been specialized for such a long time, but it's getting micromanaged.
Let's let it play out a little bit. This guy did pretty good at a high level at Ohio State. Let's let it play out a little bit and see what he can and what he can't do. Let him prove that.
And you know, the thing I keep thinking about with him and Raekwon McMillan, two guys that played together, that know each other, that know how each other plays, that have played, you know, off each other, you know, during their career at Ohio State. I just think it's going to be an interesting watch during training camp. Let's put it that way. Duke Dennis from Twitter. Hey, fellas, you know you got to stick with the Periscope crew for good questions. Do you think we should be trying to lock up Bobby McCain now before we lose him to free agency like we have so many other homegrown picks? Duke Dennis comes in from a Twitter. So, yeah, you can get Twitter, Periscope, and come in that way on your questions. Bobby McCain. What's he got? Well, I don't know what his
– He's got to be getting real close to the end of his contract. Yeah. And if you can tie him up. He got his improvement was he improved about as much as anybody on the team. Obviously, Xavier Howard. There were a few guys, but I thought Bobby McCain was right up there for the way he played at his nickel.
I loved the way he played.
And outside.
Exactly. Well, that's just to your point, Joe. Somebody goes down, Bobby McCain can move, and he can play multiple positions. You know, you have Minkah Fitzpatrick be able to do that. The more guys you can get, more hats you can wear in the NFL, no matter where you're drafted, you're going to be dependent on to play in a pinch.
Yep.
I think he gives you a lot of variation.
Bobby's got attitude. He's got a little chip on his shoulder. He walks around. He's good.
He's good.
I like him.
And he's
been a good pick.
And he's a good guy for the team. Kind of keeps things loose, keeps things out there. But when it comes time to business, the guy takes care of business. So I wouldn't have a problem if they upped him, you know, extended him a little bit before he gets to free agency. Another Facebook from Tome. I'm assuming that's Tom, but maybe it's Tome. If it's Tome,
Tome.
All right. If it's Mel Torme, whatever. It's something Bates. Tome, whatever. Cam Wake doesn't seem to be slowing down yet. One of the most consistent guys on the team. What do you got? I agree with that. I don't think this guy's slowing down. I tried to bait him the other day, went in the lunchroom after a show, and I saw Cam in there. I said, Cam, there's some brownies over here. He goes, well, you ate them. I
ain't. Yeah. Hey, the team has to make sure they're okay, though. He's still 36. Yep. But it is, if there's such thing as a young 36, it's him.
Yeah.
And nobody, as you just mentioned, takes care of their body like he does.
No. He is. And look, he takes care of himself. And look, the other thing is, you know, he's out of football for 3 or 4 years.
That's right.
You know, so he may be 36, but from a tread standpoint, he's a 32-year-old guy.
Well, like you said, Joe, he takes care of his body. Bo, you see him in there. He eats a certain thing every day at a certain time. You look at him, and we've all been around this team for a lot of years. That guy hasn't changed much.
No.
Hasn't changed in his appearance. Hasn't changed in his offseason approach and what he does. Has bounced back from his Achilles
injury.
Hasn't
changed in his effort.
It hasn't
and
in
his
the
production.
Results.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We haven't had a guy disappear in the offseason like this guy. He's the all-time guy. We never hear about him. I don't know where he lives, what he does.
What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You talk about teaching young guys how to disappear and never be seen or heard and have a private life. Cam's a president.
Come back ready. Come back ready
to
play.
And look, I think at this point, certainly he's a guy that you look at from a maintenance standpoint during practices. You maybe do a little play count on him. You know, hey, we're kind of keep you in this situation. And, you know, maybe you got all these defensive ends. The rotation's going to help him out with that too. So I don't see him slowing down. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cam for this year, next year. And then after that, maybe you start going, well, maybe, I don't know, but. Look, there's no.
I hear he
no
saves every dollar too. He ain't leaving this game broke.
No, Facebook. Tommy Clogs. You know, I always get a little stench when I see Tommy Clogs in here.
Tommy. I heard Tommy has a problem.
Yeah.
He has a serious problem.
He has an elimination problem. He's always busy eliminating when he should be working. John, I've been saving your one-on-ones with the draft picks. What was your impression on the rookies? And did anyone really surprise? Or stand out to you? You've talked to just about all of them.
They talked to all the draft picks. You know, it was pretty cool. I think you can go down the list, all good guys, all stand-up guys, were really well-spoken. I thought the excitement level, you could tell these guys are excited about being here and just not, they're ready to go to work. They're ready to contribute. They want to contribute. And I think when you take a look, I was surprised at Gesicki and Smythe because those guys are drafted in the fans' minds for different reasons.
but I think you're going to get instant results in their own different ways at those positions, at that position, a tight end. The guy that struck me, the guy that stood out the most, though, was Bellage.
Yeah.
He's big. He shook your hand. I almost went down to one knee. Yeah. The guy's a strong dude, and he's ready to go to work. This guy is – he's been productive. He was one of those sleeper type of picks because not a lot of people were following Arizona State, to be quite honest with you. You know, nobody really mentioned him in the national media. That could be a steal for future years.
And he's not real happy that he got drafted so late. He wants to prove something to people.
Was he 13th running back taken? Something like that?
But whatever number he was, he don't like that number.
No.
He don't like that number at all. So I like that. But, you know, you touched on something too, John. When and had a chance to speak to all the rookies and get to know some of them here in the last few days. And they're all cut from the same cloth, man. They're all about business. You know, you're talking about South. I don't want to hear about that. I want to be the best player I can be. Yeah. I want to get in my book. I'm taking notes on everything. I'm doing everything. And from top to bottom, they've all got that attitude. And it permeates. I think it's permeated that room where all these rookies have gotten together in all their meetings. They understand, hey, this is no bullshit. It's not coming down there. When we came out here, hey, you know, okay, yeah, practice at work. We can go get a beer, you know. They're going, well, we need to spend more time.
Yeah, those days are long gone.
We need to spend more time in the tape room and this and that.
One good thing I found from this draft class, and maybe a couple others, when you go down the list, it's Alabama, it's Penn State, it's Ohio State, it's Notre Dame, it's Arizona State.
Yep.
Those guys are ready to go to work. They're ready to go. It's not North Texas State where you got to go, well, maybe in 2 years, this guy's, you know, he'll learn the process. There's no more learning curve now for the Miami Dolphins. They were 6-10 last year.
Yep.
These guys don't produce. It's the guys that picked them. It's their name, you know, signing that off. These guys have to produce. All these kids, all these young men have been in positions where the pressure is the greatest. Yep. They better come in and do it.
And they produced it.
And they produced at that level.
And look, it's like Jerome Baker said, hey, look, I was at Ohio State. Every week I played in front of 100,000 people.
Either love me or hated me.
Yeah, you think I'm going to go into one of these stadiums with 70,000 or 80,000, you think I'm going to be – yeah, I'm going to be a shrinking violet. I don't think that's going to – I like that aspect, too, about this draft class. Twitter, at Kerry 00, Kerry 001. I never know how to do those number doubles or this or that.
You're good.
Yeah, it sucked. I stumbled over it like a drunken fool stepping over a curb.
Speaking of beers, I can use a couple.
Ohio State fan here. Jerome Baker's a beast. The stats don't give him enough credit. I thought he should have stayed a year to beef up his stats. If he had done that, he would have gone in the first round next year. Got a real steal for the Dolphins. I feel real good about the kid. And you know what? It's funny with a guy like Jerome Baker. You know all the other guys from Ohio State that jump out to you. And you know, sometimes you get a guy like that gets buried because there's so many big time stars on that team. And this guy's a very good player himself, but you know, maybe not that guy that everyone's talking about. But still a very, very good player.
Today's guys. Like it used to be, if you were a first round pick, you came out early. Nowadays, Bo, these guys know they can go in the first few rounds. We've seen guys to the fifth round.
Yeah,
they're coming out now. They just go, hey, I'll take my chances. More draft picks than ever making teams. Yep. You got to keep them around. It's a great opportunity with the salary cap. So we're seeing
I think it's getting unusual now with seven rounds. If a team gets rid of one of those draft picks, right?
That's right.
They're keeping them around. Because it does. It helps their price range certainly softens that salary cap.
And he's probably a practice squad. If you're that seventh round guy, doesn't make the active, you just go to $10,000 a week on practice squad.
Yep. Or less.
Yeah. No doubt. Facebook, Ramdak Blunt. I like what the Dolphins did in the draft overall. Even though I'm not crazy about them getting Minkah Fitzpatrick, even though I get taking one of the highest rated players on the board, I hope he's a quick study and not a liability to only get eaten up by New England because they love going after rookie cornerbacks. You know what? It's funny because I thought it was a great pick. It kind of came out of the blue for me. He wasn't the guy I thought they were going to go after. But when they got him, I thought, hell, that's a great pick and fits in, gives them depth, gives them a lot of versatility in the secondary. I'm surprised at how many people I've heard go, well, why'd they take that kid?
Well, listen, we got going on Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I was sitting there a little brainwashed that we were going to be looking at Farrell's on the outside, at outside linebacker. I will tell you, though, Mr. Kenjimmy hit that, called it out, said that guy's the guy.
Well, you know, it was Vea that was kind of the everybody circled after the linebackers left, and it was also Edmonds. We were all kind of hot on him,
Figured, he was that linebacker.
But I was so surprised that you were able to get those linemen to go ahead, and all of a sudden, all the quarterbacks. We all talked about that. If the quarterbacks were going to go, that was going to expose the Miami Dolphins to a lot more options than just at linebacker or defensive
tackle.
They got
one from that. That's a good point.
It was really for all the people that aren't happy with that pick. You can take some of my happiness with it and spread it around and make it a little more palatable.
Just
go
back and look at his production in Alabama.
Happy? I'm happy. People ask me about the draft. I said, look, I thought the draft was great. Now, I always throw the caveat, but these guys got to come out here and play. Right. They got, you know, and I don't
Everybody
care.
Everybody can have their preseason. This is great. We'll
I don't
see
care
how they
if it's
play.
Minka Fitzpatrick or the last free agent draft pick that came to this, that signed with this football team. Look, they're all even right now. They all go out there. They
you
all have
said
a chance
that.
To
That's
make the
right.
team. All have a chance to go out there and get the job done and make the team. And I've seen plenty of guys, first, second round draft picks that barely ever saw the field. And I've seen, look, I was with Larry Little yesterday, a free agent that ended up going to the Hall of Fame. I asked Larry, I said, Larry, how many free agents are there in the Hall of Fame? How many Hall of Famers are in the free agent and that are there in the Hall of Fame that came to the league as undrafted free agents? She said, it's probably 8 to 10. 8 to 10 Hall of Famers. Yeah. So, you know, it's not it's anybody's ball game out there. Facebook, Bill McMaster. Gase prefers running back by committee, just like the two tight end sets. He's still building his team. I agree with that. And I think you talk about Balazs. I think he adds a nice
little
mix with Frank Gore.
Little different.
You know, with Gore in there, with him in there. I think you got a pretty good situation and some pretty good competition there at the running back spot.
And I think, too, at tight end, Joe, I mean, you're going to have 2-3 tight end sets, split out Kosicki, do some stuff in there.
He loves two and three tight ends.
He definitely, listen, our tight end numbers in the pass receiving game have got to get picked up. Yeah, we do run a lot of two tight end. We like to use our fullback as a tight end guy.
We just didn't get the production.
We got to get more. A lot more.
Well,
out
look,
of production
but you know, and we had talked about this earlier with Gesicki. Is that look? There were a lot of Adam put those tight ends in a lot of mismatches, put them in a lot of situations where they could have made plays. They just didn't make the plays.
Correct.
Either the ball wasn't there, or they didn't catch the ball, or you know,
or they're too stiff to catch the ball. Yeah.
Why do you always go there, Joey?
You were leading me into it. You're like.
Joe, you wouldn't have said it if Bo didn't put up that sign that said stiff.
Yeah.
Like leading a horse to water. You know?
Yeah. I watch him flex out, and I'm going, how come I'm not excited about this matchup down on the 15?
Then he runs a shitty route, but still gets open. Ball's right there.
Just didn't catch a couple. Actually ran by somebody in the game and dropped one.
Yeah.
Can't remember
Sean McGarry, Facebook. Kellen Balazs, we were saying that during the season too, so it's not like we're just taking shots at the guy while he's gone. Kellen Balazs is a beast. He's going to be tough to bring down. Can't wait to see our backs, what our backs can do this year. Yeah, Balazs, I'm interested to see, because I really haven't seen him. I probably saw him and didn't know who he was.
You might have thought he was a linebacker.
He's maybe a big stud, man, and he's got a great personality. Yeah. He is really good. But let's just say this, because I know we're talking rookies right now. I'm expecting Kenyon Drake, if he stays healthy, to have
breakout.
A monster season.
Breakout season.
Yeah. Kenyon Drake is now in prime years of his career, and he had just enough success to get real hungry this year.
Hey, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, though. The last 5 or 6 weeks, whenever Kenyon took over and was the starter and played the whole time, he had the most yards of anybody in the National Football League, I think.
We saw him as a pass receiver against the Patriots. Yep. He got match up one-on-one on their linebackers and chewed them up.
Yep. And look, and there's another guy that when you see him, he's working his ass off, man. He's not, you know, I know what I'm doing now. I'll show up when I get, you know.
40 yards. Yeah. Ton of plays.
Facebook, Jorge Valdez. This fan base wants instant gratification. Takes time to build a team, and that's exactly what they're doing. I agree with that. And I just, you know, I don't know what's going to happen this year with this football team. I don't know how many games they're going to win. And again, like when Coach Gase was here, we're talking, look, these games come down to the last drive. You stop them, or they kick a field goal, or score a touchdown, and that decides the game. So it's very tight. But I like the direction they're going in. They may not be a great team this year, but I think he's building a really nice foundation of what this team is going to be. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if this team doesn't surprise us and the rest of the country with what they do this year. Because I just think the type of guys The players, they've plugged a lot of holes with players. Now, if they produce, then who knows where they go.
Take the teams out of the equation with a premier elite quarterback.
Yeah.
And you can make a guess preseason on where they're going to be. You just don't know. We didn't know 2 years ago that our team was going to win so many games decided by 4 points or 3 points or less. You end up getting to 10 wins. Last year, we didn't think Ryan was going to go down and it was going to be abysmal in terms of being able to get stability at that position. Yeah. You don't know. You don't know until the team lines up and plays. But you can guarantee one thing. You said it best, Bo. Games are going to come down to either stopping somebody in the last possession, kicking a field goal to win, kicking a field goal to tie, or getting a first down or a score to win in a high percentage of those games.
Well, he's got the guys he likes more than ever before, and it starts out here with this group right now. And, Bo, they're talking playoffs. I mean, they're not just
– No, I understand. I'm with you.
Hey, let's try to get better so our fan base feels better. Maybe they're talking about playoffs in that room only.
I think what I like about what they're doing is – they're not – I don't think they're building. I'd say Gaze and Greer and Tannenbaum. I don't think they're building a football team to get in the playoffs every now and then. You know, I think
can't be that mentality.
They're trying to put that football team that's gonna be there every year and challenge and be one of those upper echelon teams. And I just hope the fan base, if it's not this year but it's next, I hope the fan base – because you know how it is. They start beating the drums after 3 years with a coach. I'll get these guys. This guy can't coach. Get him out of here. And then you get out of there and you take three steps back. And so at some point, this franchise has to look at their coach and go, this is our guy. We're going to let him get this team where he wants.
Right.
If it takes him 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, we're going to give him the opportunity.
There are certain numbers you want to get better,
yes,
though.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't want to score 17 points a game. No. And I want to be entertained. I'm no different. None of you guys.
Yeah, no.
No.
I want to get entertained at the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to struggle scoring.
Bottom line is winning. You want to win. You want to have the expectation of going in every Sunday or Monday night or Thursday night. You want to be able to know that, hey, I've got a chance to win this game, no matter who they're playing.
Yep. Right. Yep. Walk on the field. I mean, that's a great thing in the NFL, to be a team. When you walk into a stadium, you go, you know what, we're going to win.
Right.
And when you're then when you lose, you're like shocked. What?
Right.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
Yep.
You know? And that's where they need to get to. Thomas Dye, Facebook. The Finns didn't sign any impact players this year. Just a few average ones, mostly twos in terms of Pro Bowlers. There were more on the team last year. Dolphins aren't getting to the playoffs, and we'll probably finish just under 500 again. Nice to have you with us, Thomas. Appreciate the uplifting.
Where's the corner?
Look, I think they've done some pretty good things. I think they've brought in a lot of depth. I think the secondary's got depth. Certainly the defensive front has depth. Offensive line, I think you got to feel is an improvement.
A lot of question marks.
They think they got two impact
defensive
rookies.
Ends, tight end.
In first and second round, they feel – nobody wants to come out and say they think Kosicki's going to catch a lot of passes.
I don't doubt that at all.
He didn't come in here to look real pretty and wear Penn State T-shirts.
No.
He came in here to catch the rock.
Yep, no doubt. So, you can
there will be Debbie Downers, though. I understand.
No doubt. It's
fine. We'll see.
You have those on the radio every now and then, Joe?
Do I? I live with them.
But Facebook, Michael Budwick. I think Minka is the next Ed Reed. He and Rashad Jones instantly forms one of the best safety duos in the NFL. Can't forget T.J. McMillan or T.J.
McDonald.
McDonald back there. The pick was an absolute steal, and him, McMillan, and Jerome Baker should all be day one starters and leaders for the next 5 to 10 years. I agree with that, and I agree with the fact that you put Gusecki in there. He could be your tight end for the next
10, 12
years.
Yeah. We'll take 3 or 4 years. To turn this, you know,
well, it's funny now because you got to start looking at these guys and you can't.
You can't go past
there for
five.
10 years. No, you
can't
because,
go past four.
No,
I don't know why everybody says that. You know, the draft guys always say that too. Like, you line him up at tackle, you got him. He's your guy for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking
he may be a guy for 10 years, but you may not have him for.
You may still be paying for him in 10 years.
Injury or he got too good and you can't afford to keep him. I don't know about keeping him for 10 years.
Yeah, let's take a year by year and maybe 3 years or 4 years at the most.
That's good.
Speaking of, we're going to wind this up with David Johnson from Facebook. I think my favorite pick in the draft was Gusecki out of Penn State. Glad we finally got a big body pass catching tight end. I couldn't be more agreeable with that. When I heard that I was out at an event when I heard they drafted Gusecki, I went behind a wall and started jumping up and down. I was so happy. I said, finally. Finally, that guy. Remember, we talked about him
I was jumping draft, up and down about we need to get a guy like that. And I was afraid. I was so afraid the Dolphins were going to try to grab one in the third round. I'm going, if you got your guy and Chris Greer, Hurdy said, hey, you want Adam, you want your tight end? Let's jump up and get him right now. You love Gesicki, he's there.
There was three elite pass-catching tight ends, and we got one of them.
Yep.
Okay, in this draft, and we needed to get one of them. And we backed him up with a guy that I think is underrated, that can do a lot more than what he was asked to do at Notre Dame in Smythe.
It's funny, because if you talk to those two guys, and I talked to both of them, and Gesicki says, you know, everyone tells me I can't block. I can block. You know, and then you talk to Smythe. And
everybody says I can't catch.
So I can catch.
I can run
so
around.
They said, no, wait, I can do everything. I can do a little.
And you know who I trust the most? Jerome Baker, because he played against both of them at some time.
That's right. No doubt about it. All right, that's going to do it for the program today. I want to thank everyone that's been listening to the programs. You can catch them. There's a lot of good places to catch these things, but I'm starting to kind of run out of gas on these things. I forget where you can get them. Joe, you got to tell me where we can find it. Where can we find it?
I like Apple Music, but I'm not afraid to go to dolphins.com.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna call BS on you because you don't have an iPhone, bro. You got what?
But somebody in the family has one.
His daughter's.
So, but just because you don't have an iPhone doesn't mean you can't somewhere else.
Old school. Go old school,
Miami Dolphins
Joe.
Mobile app is a good one.
Dolphins.com. How about that one?
Dolphins.com. It's always the same.
I mean, that's where I go.
You know, sometimes I just go to TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio. Just tune in.
Because you can learn a lot of stuff.
Tune in.
You can catch a lot of different.
There's a lot of different ways.
You can catch a lot of different podcasts on TuneIn Radio, but I don't give a shit about the other ones. I just listen to ours.
Joe, what time are you playing tennis today?
About
35
minutes.
Well, if that's the case,
because I didn't know how many more places we could go before you had to go warm up or something.
You busted me, John. You choked me up there, man.
Rough up those fuzzy balls. I mean, those fuzzy green balls.
And
get out and
who are you playing today? Tommy Cloggs? Who are you going out against today?
I'm not going to say. I don't want to take any shots.
I know
anybody.
He's playing.
Okay.
You know, Joe's stepping his game up. He's playing Barry Jackson. That's going to do it for the program. We're going to catch you next week. Take care.
Playing Omar. I can't believe you said that.